Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
You ready to figure out what's wrong with the Celtics?
I'm trying my best, Jones. We've been doing this off and on for a month straight. Just when you thought they had it figured out, they go out and have a game like last night. They have been pretty consistent with that, though, all season long. All month long.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they would win, they would blow somebody out, and you're like, all right, they're good now, they're fine. And then there's one of these.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, they'll win the next game. I'll tell you right now, they'll win the next game. Everybody, like, ah, see, they're fine. And then they've just been like ping-ponging wins and losses. Maybe they'll win two in a row. They're not going to lose two in a row, but they're going to drop games all the time. Maybe you think so? I mean, I don't know. Like, that's just what they've been doing. They're 11-10 in their last 21 games. And you want the Rich Keefe Stats and Info Department stat of the day?
Get right into it. Why wait?
The last night's loss, the Celtics dropped to 32-15 on the season. Fourth best record in the NBA.
Behind now the Houston Rockets, who beat them
Ime Udoka's Rockets. The face of the Rockets, Ime Udoka. Last year, when they had 15 losses, they were 57-15. So 32-15 versus 57-15. So I understand being like, all right, this team has won a title, and this team, you put them in a series, and how's that going to go, and blah, blah, blah. But like, how many games can they lose until you say, all right, something's up.
Well,
you and I have been saying something's up now for a little while.
I think Wiggy needs the team to be eliminated before he starts freaking out. From what I heard, I think Wiggy needs them knocked out before he's even mildly concerned. Yeah,
me and him were just talking about movies for five straight minutes. But I wanted to ask him, if hypothetically, if they lost out, would he change his mind? Would he be like, oh, they're not going to win the whole thing?
Oh, like if they lost every regular season game.
Lost the rest of the season.
He'd be like, I'm a little concerned.
And he's like, they finished the year, you know, under 500. Yeah. Would he change his tune? I don't think so. I think he's so dug in.
Greg did get him to at least acknowledge he thought they would be better at this point. Which, let's just start there.
Okay.
For all the Celtics fans out there, and you can jump in all day long here on Jones and Keefe, 617-779-7937. Are you concerned about the Celtics? Big picture, not just their loss last night. We'll get into the loss and dissect it and who to blame and all of this. But they lose 114-112 to Ime Udoka and the Houston Rockets. They now have the fourth best record in the NBA. Phone number, same as the text line. Again, 617-779-7937. Open all day long for you. On Twitter, at Jones and Keefe, and on Instagram. You can watch along, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Also chat there. Always a healthy conversation going on Twitch and on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Are you at least willing to acknowledge the team isn't where you expected it to be at this point in time? I know you feel that way.
Yeah,
Keith.
Of course. You have to be.
But for a Celtics, let's all just acknowledge and get in the trust tree.
Yep.
The team not where you thought it would be at this point in time. I did not hear all offseason, well, yeah, they're going to have the fourth best record right around the All-Star break. Well, yeah, they'll be worse than the Cavs.
They'll be worse than the Rockets.
The Knicks will only be one game behind them. The Rockets. They'll get pants by Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
So you can tell me you think they'll still win the championship and they're still the most talented team, maybe even the best team in the league. But can we all just acknowledge and agree the team is not, right now, January 28th, where we expected it to be? If we could all just start there, then I think we can have a real conversation about the team.
Yeah, for real. I mean, no, I didn't think they were going to go 82-0. I didn't think they were going to have an NBA record 74 wins in the regular season. Did I think they might have a Celtics team record, 67 or 68 wins, somewhere there? Yeah, I did. And now, if they're going to win, what would it be, 67 games, which would be one game better than the 08 Kevin Garnett Celtics, they would have to win the rest of the games. They'd have to win out right now. Like, they already have 15 losses, and we're not even into February yet. And I keep going back to the way in which they've lost games and the variety of teams they've lost. And, you know, you lose a few games here and there, and you think it'd be on your radar. Be like, all right, let's, you know, stop the bad habits and turn things around. But they've lost the good teams. They've lost the bad teams. They've lost these close games. And what's really killed them is they've lost a lot of games in which they've had fourth quarter leads, double-digit fourth-quarter leads, like last night.
You want the numbers?
Yeah, sure. Give me some numbers.
Forsberg. This is from the Chris Forsberg Stats and Information Department.
Also a good Stats and Info Department.
I don't have my own Stats and Info
Department.
You got
to get in there.
We got to have a little bit more of the budget for that. Celtics' ninth blown fourth-quarter lead this year, which matches last season's total. So already they've blown as many games in the fourth quarter as they did all of last year.
So Yeah, so there's a lot of those kind of stats. So they've lost more home games than they did all of last year.
Yep.
I don't think they haven't had a month this bad as they did all of last year. We went through it. Remember, because people are like, everybody has a bad month. We went through the numbers. Last year, every month, they like at least doubled the wins over their losses.
If
sometimes
I remember,
even better.
Off the top of my head, yeah, I think their worst month a year ago, it
like
was
12-6.
It
or
was
something.
January, but yeah. It was something like 11-5, 12-6. They still won 2/3 of their game.
Yeah, no, but that's pretty alarming. So they've lost 15 games,
yep.
And more than half of them, they've had a lead in the fourth quarter.
Okay, now
which they've blown.
Now that can be a bit misleading. A fourth quarter lead could be a 1-point lead in the fourth quarter. Okay, so
yeah, but okay, fine.
But here's a second stat.
Uh-oh.
It's the seventh time they've blown a 10-plus point lead this season.
So half of their losses, they were up 10 or more in the fourth quarter.
Yep. They had 8 all of last year. So they're one away from matching that. They've already matched as many fourth quarter blown leads as they had all of last year. They've already lost more games at home than they did a year ago. I just did the math. They're trending for low 50s in wins. They were projected before the year for high 50s. They won 64 a year ago. I thought they could win more than last year's team. Certainly in the 60s. Best team in the Eastern Conference. They have the fourth best record in the league. They're losing to Ime Udoka and the Rockets.
Shouldn't they be
they're
better?
They're number two in the East.
They were
500.
Year?
Yes.
They should be better.
Yes.
They've had guys, I guess, in and out of the lineup, but that's also the nature of the NBA. You know, at the end of the year, you can probably count on one hand how many guys played 82 games. So that's par for the course. Even when they're down a guy or two, they have more talent than the other team. So last night, not an excuse, but the facts. Al Horford late scratch, no Derek White, no Sam Hauser. All right. You're down 3 of your 8-man rotation. Do the Houston Rockets have a guy that's going to make the All-Star team? Do the Houston Rockets have a guy that is close to making the All-Star team?
I would have said before we talked about this with Turk before the show, maybe Sengun, but apparently not. No,
I don't think that they do. And that's why there's another whole side topic about how good of a coach Ime Udoka is, and he's getting the most out of that team and everything else. But you still have Tatum and Brown. Like, you have the two best players on the court, let alone other guys. Like, Porzingis is playing, Drew Holiday's playing. You have more than enough at home to beat the Rockets. That's the other thing I don't like about this team, and I think should be at least cause for mild concern. They're not a badass home team. I like that. Like, that is usually a good sign when a team comes in there and you're like, all right, now you have home court advantage. Like, you're going to win a game 7 in Boston. Like, good luck. It's like, well, that game 7 might not even be in Boston the way they're trending right now. Like, if you play Cleveland or OKC or something,
it might be in Cleveland.
It would be somewhere else. Yeah. But also, it wouldn't even really matter. Like, it's not a scary place to go play. And it's got nothing to do with the crowd. The crowd's always into it. The crowd's always going bonkers. But they just don't really have that kind of thing that other great teams have.
Let me tell you the other issue with how they're playing is that Cleveland really hasn't been great lately. Cleveland's 5-5 over their last 10.
Houston knocked them off recently, right?
Houston won back-to-back games against them. They won a home and home. So Cleveland's fallen off. You're making up no ground because you're also pedaling in place. You're not going
5.5 behind Cleveland and 1 up on the Knicks.
So
who started really slow.
Let's just start with that, Celtics fans out there, and tell me if you can agree. 617-779-7937. You thought the team would be better than they have been at this point in the season. January 28th, we thought they'd be better than second in the East, fourth best record in the NBA, playing 500 basketball over their last 21 games, 11-10, losing to Ime Udoka. We all thought that. Let's start there, and then we can get into how concerned we are big picture about this team. So you can jump in on the phones. Lines are open for you. We'll get to you there. Specific to last night, Keith, what was the problem?
Tatum, I think, was one of the big problems in the game. You know, he was not engaged or aggressive at all in the first half. Didn't score in the first half.
He had no points in the first half. He only took 5 field goal attempts. He had a very good third quarter.
So he's 0-for-5. And yeah, he turned it on a little bit in the third quarter. But I don't know if last night's the night to be as passive if you're Tatum. I think you need to be much more aggressive. On a night where Derek White, Sam Hauser, and Al Horford aren't playing, like, how many shot attempts do those three guys average on a given night? And you take all of them out. Do I want way more Luke Kornet shots, although he was effective because he was like around the hoop? But do you want a lot more? Like, there was a possession where, you know, close game, it was close for most of it, and Tatum had the ball, and you know, they flash up on NBC Boston something like Celtics scoreless the last 3.5 minutes or whatever it was. They were in like a scoring drought, and Tatum is dribbling around, doesn't settle for a three, gets into the paint, kicks it out for a Xavier Tillman three.
Yeah.
And you're like, the hell? You're like, that's how is that the possession? Like, I get it. Missoula loves threes. You love open threes, and open three can be a good shot. But like a Xavier Tillman, like a foot behind the line on the wing, I'm like, that's the last shot I would want. Especially when you're in a rut like they were.
Tatum, take a bucket.
Yeah, like Tatum needed to be more aggressive, I think. You know, he needed to score more in that game. He ended up with 19 points, all of it in the second half. He couldn't hit any of his threes. He did get to the line a little bit. But, no, the way things were going, I feel like we've said this before in games that they have lost, but Tatum needs to realize he is, in fact, the best player on the court and take over.
Thank you. Like, I agree with you 1,000,000%. So Tatum had no points in the first half. He did have 5 assists, if you want to throw a parade for him. I know people, saying he didn't do anything in the first half? He had 5 assists.
Could have had 6 if Tillman hit that 3.
Yeah. No, that's that's how we talk about every star player in the league when they go scoreless for a half. We go, well, they had some assists.
No.
Yeah, that's how we talk about, you know, LeBron and SGA and Jokic and everybody else. Yeah, that's exactly what we do. So, you know, number one, way too passive. 5 field goal attempts. He had 15 points in the third quarter, which to me infuriates me even more. It's like, oh, so you do have it in you. You just chose not to in the first half. He only scored 4 in the fourth quarter. They were big buckets, though. In fairness to Tatum,
yeah,
they were big buckets down the stretch the team needed. I think it starts with him. It was the first game back from a 4-game West Coast trip, which I thought was underwhelming. They went 3-4 on it, but I thought it was an underwhelming trip. So it's the first game back. There will be a lag with the team. As you said, guys were out. Horford was a late scratch. Derek White out of the lineup. Hauser, whatever. You know, you're losing your 8th guy. I'm not going to cry about it. But you're shorthanded in your rotation, which is why Tillman's even out there. You need Tatum to start the game quickly. You need him to start engaged.
Yeah, get it going.
And so I view it the same way. I would allow for, though, Keith. Ime Udoka also just had a plan for him and knows how to get in his head or get him out of his comfort zone. I'd allow for Udoka had a scheme for him if you want to go there. But I think it's exactly what you said. I think the team was flat coming back from a road trip, and the guy that's supposed to pick you up is your best player. He didn't. You let the Rockets in the game.
Yeah.
You let Dylan Brooks get hot.
Oh, my God, Dylan Brooks.
And I
10
think,
threes for Dylan Brooks?
I think the way they defended Dylan Brooks starts with Tatum not being engaged. I think it starts with that. When your superstar is not engaged, you go, I'll get to that guy on the wing. He's not going to keep making threes, and I think that permeates the entire team. So I 1,000% think it starts with Tatum. I agree with you.
Yeah, and I know part of it might have been, hey, let's try to limit Jalen Green, and he ended up leaving the game, coming back. So he played 29-30 minutes, so not maybe as many minutes as he normally would, and they did a good job on Green. But then Brooks and Thompson kill him. Like, those guys were insane, including the last shot of the game. Also, it seemed like Joe Mazzulla – now, I put more of this on Tatum than Mazzulla, but let me point out Mazzulla. It feels like – was he not prepared for Al Horford not to play, like, at all? Like, couldn't in the back of his mind he had to... Because it seemed like he was throwing all kinds of weird lineups out there. Lineups that we'd never... Like, he was almost, like, grasping at straw type
from
lineups.
From what I read, maybe we can check in with Terp about this, but from what I read, I do think they were a little blindsided by Horford being out of the lineup.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Like, I understand he was a late scratch.
But you should have a plan.
You're the... Yeah, so, like, 50-year-old Al Horford can't go tonight? Like, maybe be ready to go with somebody else.
Well, exactly. It's not like a guy who does... How many games does Horford have the night off? It's not like you shouldn't be used to
it. But didn't it seem... I mean, it seemed very random, some of the guys he was kind of throwing out there, at least together, and, you know, last-minute stuff.
The Drew Peterson and Jaden Springer lineup? That was a random lineup to you?
I think I watched that documentary. Yeah, there was a lot of...
I don't enjoy his work on the NBC Sports Boston broadcast. Yeah. I really don't.
No, but it was wild. I mean, they dug into the bench. I mean, it was another Jaden Springer game. But, yeah, just throwing different pieces out there. Tillman, Jordan Walsh, et cetera, et cetera. But, once again, another reason why Tatum needs to be more aggressive, more assertive. Like, he has to be.
Yeah, so, to me, I think that's where it starts. How much of it do you put on Mazzulla?
Like, as much as you can put on a coach, like, I'm not going to completely overstate things because it's the NBA. The coach is there to sort of balance egos and that kind of thing. Maybe the occasional out-of-bounds play. But I don't think he's the biggest problem. I think we go back to the question we had a week ago. Like, he may not be the problem, but, like, is he the right guy to, like, fix it? Can he see that this thing is going south? And can he step in there and change it rather than doing these press conferences where he's like, what'd you think, we're going to be good this year? Like,
yeah, no, I thought you'd
not
be
thought you were
going to
be great. Thought you guys were going to be real good this year.
I thought you'd be much better than you were to this point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, look, some of it's always on the coach. It's down my list. Like, if I have to pick who to blame, the superstar or the coach in the NBA, I'd blame the superstar before the coach on every other team. I'm going to do that with this team as well.
No doubt.
And I do think Tatum coasting through the game, gliding through the game without a care, taking his time getting into it, that sets the tone for the whole team. How you play defense, how you get out on Dylan Brooks, giving the Rockets a feeling like they're in the game. Like, hey, we're not going to run you out of the building. We're in the game. We're getting comfortable. Dylan Brooks sees it go through the hoop 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 9, 10 times.
Just lighten it up.
I think those are all correlated, but maybe you think we're being too harsh on Tatum. You can jump in on that as well. It's 617-779-7937.
Do you put any, like, as the game's going on, I feel like we've brought this up in playoff games where Tatum's been pretty passive. You're the coach. Like, maybe also dial it up and be like, hey, guys, like, I know I'm letting you kind of do your own thing here for a little bit, and I trust you guys overall, but, like, on this possession, we're going to free up Tatum, or we're going to dial something. Not, like, just ISO shot, but, like, we're going to do something to get him going. Normally, we don't have to, because he could usually get his points on his own type of thing, but maybe you step in and be like, all right, I've seen enough, you know, Tillman shots for the rest of the game.
Yeah, just send that message. So I agree with that. I do think, you know, the plays at the end of the game, I would just chalk those up to Udoka out-coaching Mazzulla. So I guess that's Mazzulla, a red flag for Mazzulla. But, like, the play for Sengun, it's Cornette ISO'd up on him.
Yeah.
And he didn't do much all game long. But I don't really necessarily blame Mazzulla for that, per se. It's a good play by Udoka. But you are getting out-coached by the guy on the other side. Amen Thompson just shook the crap out of Jaylen Brown.
Man.
On that final possession.
He's a good player.
How good do you think they are, the Rockets?
I think they are a overachieving team that is maybe more so than any other team in the NBA. Actually, more so than any other team in the NBA is getting the most possible out of their roster. So I would say they're good. I don't view them as a title contender.
Me neither.
But whatever that next tier is, they're there.
Yeah, nightmare team to play.
Yeah, you don't want to play them.
They're chock full of young, athletic players. You know, Thompson, chief among, he was very impressive last night. I'm not pretending to watch a ton of Houston Rockets games. Like, he was jumping off the screen to me. So
first round matchup right now, and I know there's the stupid play in 7, 8, 9, 10, but if they just played the 7 seed, it'd be Rockets, Timberwolves.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I'd take Houston in that series.
Yeah, maybe not.
So I think that's a high-effort team that is just a nightmare to play in the regular season.
I mean, the Celtics just smoked them a week ago.
Yeah, they're probably a year or two ahead of schedule right now. It's a team you got to watch out for in future seasons, but that's the exact kind of team that gets the Celtics these days. A team that's high-effort, all effort. They're going to try. They're not going to give up. When they're down 12, they're not going to hang their heads. They're not going to quit. They're not going to roll over and die. And that's a nightmare for the Celtics these days. Would the Rockets beat the Celtics in a 7-game series? I wouldn't pick it.
I don't think so.
But it underscores the Celtics just expecting they can show up and win games. And I think that starts with Tatum. Mazzulla's on the list. What's your concern level with the Celtics? Are you closer to me and Keith, who are concerned? This team is nowhere near our expectations. Or are you at the other end of the spectrum, Wiggy, who I think he needs them knocked out of the playoffs before he even starts to sweat.
Oh, literally, they need to lose. He was so just like, there's nothing to see here. They're fine. Who's going to beat them? Everything's great. He's like, didn't he say they're still going to win 60 games? I was like, they better get going.
I did the math earlier. I think they're on pace for 53, 52, something like that.
Yeah, they need to change the pace.
So they're going to have to elevate that quite a bit. I know a lot of you are concerned. We'll hear from you all day long here on Jones and Keith. We'll get into the Super Bowl matchup between the Chiefs and the Eagles. We'll get into some of the introductory press conferences. Yesterday for new coaches around the NFL.
Yeah. You still like Liam Cohen?
Including one, a very prominent guy that I propped up.
That was your guy.
I do like him.
Yeah?
Wouldn't say he had a very good introductory press conference. That era might already be over.
Wow.
In Jacksonville. So we'll get to that coming up. We also have thoughts on Bill Belichick versus Andy Reid. The better coach, it's a lot closer than Patriots fans want to acknowledge. So we'll get to that coming up as well. Billy Lanny with all the latest and trending. And then let's play a game. What if Ime Udoka was still here with the Celtics? How different would they look? How many titles would they have? Would they even have a championship? We'll get to that right after trending with Billy Lanny.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Celtics fell to the Houston Rockets at the TD Garden last night. The Rockets' Amen Thompson hit the go-ahead shot with 0.7 seconds left in regulation to give Houston the 114-112 win. Thompson finished the night with 33 points, and Dylan Brooks led the Rockets with 36 points. Jaylen Brown was the Celtics' top scorer with 28 points. The Seas return to the court tomorrow night when the Celtics host the Chicago Chicago Bulls. The Miami Heat have suspended Jimmy Butler indefinitely without pay after Butler walked out of practice yesterday. This is Butler's third suspension of the season. The NBA trade deadline is next Thursday. And tonight, the Boston Bruins look to make it three wins in a row, and the Bees will be in Buffalo to play the Sabres. Charlie McAvoy and Hampus Lindholm did not make the trip to Buffalo. Face-off at the KeyBank Center is at 7:30. A no-risk, all-reward path to real weight loss. If you're not happy with your Awaken 180 results in the first week, get 100% of your money back. The results speak for themselves. Find your solution for weight loss at Awaken180WeightLoss.com. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.